Our Lady Health of the Sick, pray for us. Please be seated. We have a number of sick people we're praying for today, and one of them is a Mr. Bob Duff, an older man who used to come 2.5 hours every Sunday for years and years to come to Holy Mass. He would usually come to the first Mass with his son. Well, anyways, Mr. Duff has had a heart attack, and Father McKenna's going to go see him now. So let's keep him in our prayers during Mass today in a special way. And that's just exactly what I wanted to speak to you about, children, about sickness and doctors. Did you ever hear that phrase, "Is there a doctor in the house?" I've been thinking that lately because it seems that more and more people are fainting during Mass. Well, in the old days before we used to have the EMS on speed dial, when I was a young priest, like the young priests are now, once upon a time I was a master of ceremonies at a Mass in Michigan that Archbishop Lefebvre was celebrating. And one of the torchbearers, that's an old torchbearer trick, you know. Don't get any ideas, though, boys. One of the torchbearers fainted during the Mass, sometimes because they're a little nervous and sometimes because of all the smoke and it's warm with a lot of people in a very long Mass. Well, he fainted, and back then they didn't have the EMS and the life squad that would come with great ceremony and do something important. And so you were sort of left on your own, especially because this was north of Detroit out in the country in a little town called Armada. Well, there I was, and I was sort of in charge because I was the master of ceremonies. And I remember I didn't know what else to do, so I thought it would be a good idea to sort of drag the unconscious altar boy out into the sacristy. And somebody took a picture of me doing that, and it ended up in the local paper. It was very colorful. And the altar boy woke up, and everything was just fine. After all, he had just fainted. But to answer the question, is there a doctor in the house? And the answer is yes. As a matter of fact, there are two doctors I'm thinking of today. Who's the first? You know the answer. Dr. Jesus, the little doctor who is the physician of the sick, the soul as well as the body. And the other doctor, why, he would be, of all things, today's saint. What's today? It's St. Valentine's Day. St. Valentine was a priest who had what they call today a second career. He was a doctor first. And Cardinal Schuster insists on this very much. He was a doctor as well as a priest. Like our Lord, a doctor of the body as well as of the soul. And that makes sense according to his name, because the name Valentine or Valentinus comes from the Latin verb valere, which means to be well. In the old days, when the Romans were writing each other letters, they would always begin the letter by saying, si vales bene est, valeo. If you're doing well, if you're feeling well, that's good. I'm feeling well too. Well, we're going to ask St. Valentine today for the grace to feel well in all sorts of different ways. They say that he was a priest who lived in 3rd century Rome, and he worked with that Holy Family whom we honored in January, Saints Marius and Martha, who with their boys Artifax and Abacum had come all the way over from Persia or Iran to help with the Christians who were being persecuted by the pagans and to bury their bodies after they were martyred. Well, he was part of that group and he was thrown into jail. Only he, being a doctor of the soul and the body, performed a miracle, and he healed the jailer's daughter, and her name was Aurelia, I believe, Aurora or Aurelia. In any case, he healed her, and the jailer was so impressed that he, along with all of his household, which means his children, his mother-in-law, and his servants or slaves, all together, they were all baptized, and that wouldn't do, so he was soon beheaded, St. Valentine was. How did St. Valentine get to be so popular? Part of it was this, that after the persecutions were over, there was a pope who who built a basilica to hold his relics, and it was on the main road that led into Rome called the Flaminian Way, and that would be the first Roman church that pilgrims would see. So, of course, they would go there and pray, and pretty soon everybody was praying to St. Valentine and knew about him. Later on, his relics were put into another church in Rome, and then they were sent out. They say that a church in Dublin, Ireland, has the relics of St. Valentine, but there's also a church in Scotland which claims that honor. Now, of course, today, people have Valentines, don't they? And, well, if they're good Catholics, they won't be giving any candy because it's already Lent. But I suppose a lot of people could be sending Valentines or be sending some flowers, some roses, red roses in particular. There's a legend that says, well, that may be because of a pagan feast day, in which, in a very sort of a pagan way, young people would choose each other to go study with for a year, which would be a very wicked and a wrong thing to do. That's called having an occasion of sin. And then there's also another tradition that at this time of the year, the birds are choosing their mates, they're mating, and that pretty soon they'll have their nests and they'll have their little birdie eggs to sit on. That could be too. The English poet Chaucer talks about that. But in any case, a Valentine today stands for friendship, doesn't it? And stands for love. St. Francis de Sales thought it would be good to give out Valentines of saints, and for everybody to pick one saint, and he would be your Valentine for the year, he or she. That's a good idea, isn't it? Unfortunately, I don't think that ever got to be too popular. Valentine is the patron saint of courtship, of young people who are of an age to get married, and then they court someone in view of the sacrament of matrimony. Well, he's the patron saint of them, and they always need a lot of help, young people who are courting, so it's good they have such a wonderful doctor and saint and martyr to look over them. You might say that there isn't any greater love than what our Lord shows in today's Mass in the Gospel. In the Gospel, our Lord is in his hometown of Capernaum. He had moved to that when he started his public ministry. And he's met by a centurion, that would be a Roman pagan official, who says, you know the story, my servant is at home and he's grievously sick. Please come and heal him. And our Lord says, well, I will. And then the centurion says, but, O Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. And then our Lord heals him anyways, long distance, because he's God, and he can do all things. You might say we need St. Valentine to come down from heaven today and to heal us, especially to heal young people, children, who have pretty much the wrong idea about dating and going steady and all of those things, which instead of a preparation for a sacrament can easily end up being just an occasion of sin. Is there a doctor in the house? Indeed there is. The epistle is a wonderful story today, children. It's the story of one of the few good kings of history, one of the few good Israelite kings, and his name was Ezekias, and God sends the prophet Isaiah to go to see him and to tell him, not to heal him, but to tell him, you're going to die. You're not going to get better, so get ready to die. And Ezekias, who was a general as well as a brave soldier and a king, was in charge of defending his city of Jerusalem. And he didn't want to die, not yet, because he wanted to win the battle and to defend the holy city from the pagans. So Ezekias was this big, brave man. You know what he does? He turns his face to the wall and he starts to weep. That's a sign of sincerity when you pray. Most of all today, we're actually thinking about praying and how when we pray during Lent, we should be humble and we should be sincere and sorry for our sins. So he's weeping and he's telling our Lord, dear Lord, he says between his sobs, you know I've tried to be a good king and I've only worshipped you and I've never had idols and I tried to be brave and keep the Ten Commandments and everything. Couldn't you please let me live longer, at least long enough to defend my city and do my duty as a king? well, God is so impressed with that prayer because it's so humble and sincere, and he's crying too, and usually men, especially big generals, don't cry, that he sends Isaias back again to tell him, you're going to be healed. I'm going to give you 7 more years, and you'll win the battle, and you'll drive the enemy away from the gates of your city. If we pray very sincerely, sometimes it seems that our prayer touches the heart of God, children. Last of all, this makes me think about Saint Teresa. In the last year of her life, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus stayed up rather late on Holy Thursday, as we will after all, there's a lot of work to do, and she was making her visit to the altar of repose, and she prayed until midnight, and then she went to bed. They had to get up very early the next morning for the divine office and prayer. And almost as soon as the lights were out and she was in bed, she coughed up something and she didn't know what it was. And it was on her handkerchief. But the next morning, she saw that she had coughed up blood, which was a sign that she had the dreaded disease of tuberculosis. Now, instead of being worried or instead of crying like that big, brave King Ezekiah did, do you know what St. Teresa did? She smiled. She was full of joy. She was so happy, not only because, of course, that would be God's will, but also because that meant she could go to heaven pretty soon. That was a sign that pretty soon her work on earth would be over and her work from heaven would start. Remember her promise, I'm going to spend all of my eternity helping people out on earth, sending them roses, which means graces and answers to prayer. So far from crying, she was very happy. And she didn't want our Lord, who's our true doctor, to come in to heal her. She only wanted to be able to join him very quickly in heaven. Now, the doctors couldn't do anything to help her, and they prescribed all sorts of treatments and medicines. She even had a nickname for one of her doctors. She called him Harry Cloden. H-A-I-R-Y, because he had a big beard and long hair, and he was sort of a hairy-looking doctor. And that was the name of an early barbarian who had invaded France, and St. Therese and the other children had studied about him in history class. So she always had her sense of humor all the way through to the end, and he would examine her frequently and prescribe all sorts of difficult, bitter medicines for her to take. And she knew they wouldn't do any good, but out of obedience, she always took them all the way through. And finally, when it was too late, the doctors realized, oh, she actually has tuberculosis. They had misdiagnosed her and had been giving her the wrong remedies, but never mind, she was already on her way to heaven. Well, children, is there a doctor in the house? The answer is yes, and it's best for us to stick with Dr. Jesus. And don't forget Dr. Saint Valentine. He's a good doctor for love and for young people who get what's called spring fever or love sick. And he's a good doctor for all of us, always to have a strong love for all of the sick. Let's remember all of them in our prayers today. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.